This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're playing a couple of cuts from the James Comey testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee last week. And one thing we did learn from the Comey hearing, we now know why he held an unusual public announcement of the FBI investigation's findings into Hillary Clinton's email server, that announcement which came prior to the election. Here is Comey speaking with the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a ultimately conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
Were there other things that contributed to that you can describe in an open session?
There were other things that contributed to that. One significant item I can't. I know the committee's been briefed on. There's been some public accounts of it, which are nonsense, but I understand the committee's been briefed on the classified facts. Probably the only other consideration that I guess I can talk about in an open setting is that at one point the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. But that was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly.
Now, of course, we all know the president's propensity to tweet. In fact, he's already on the Twitter this morning. This is his tweet. I believe the James Comey leaks will be far more prevalent than anyone ever thought possible. Totally illegal? Question mark. Very cowardly! Exclamation point. Also, earlier this morning, the fake news MSM, mainstream media, doesn't report the great economic news. Since Election Day, Dow up 16%, NASDAQ up 19.5%, drilling and energy sector way up, regulation way down, 600,000 plus new jobs added, unemployment down to 4.3%, business and economic enthusiasm way up, record levels. So what do you make about these tweets? We've seen the White House aides to the president say, forget about what the president tweets, focus on what he actually says. But now, White House spokesman Sean Spicer says that the president's tweets should be considered official White House statements.
And a quick follow-up question on the president's tweets. Are President Trump's tweets considered official White House statements?
Well, the president is the president of the United States, so they're considered official statements by the president of the United States.
If I can follow up on that question, is President Trump at all concerned that his tweets could be used against him at the level of the Supreme Court when the ACLU takes on this travel ban case?
Well, I think we've made it clear with respect to that that the court should follow the law. And I think the danger is real, the law is clear, and there's no question that we should prevail at the Supreme Court.
The danger is real, might be applied to the president's tweets as well. Well, that's our spin through the national politics. And now joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Steve Schneider of the American Insurance Association and Jeff Junkus with the Property Casualty Insurers Association. And I wanted to have both of them in here to talk about the issue of workers' compensation. Both of their associations represent insurers that provide workers' compensation insurance coverage to businesses. And we touched on this subject a little bit last week with Greg Bays from the Illinois Manufacturers Association. This, of course, workers' comp, a subject that is a condition, precondition for trying to finally get to some settlement of Illinois' budget impasse. But I wanted to start with Steve and Jadev. Feel free to jump in, but just an explainer, I don't know that most people really know what workers' comp is. I mean, Steve?
Sure, Rick. Thanks very much for the opportunity to talk about this rather unexciting subject. But very important subject, because if you work in Illinois or if you employ people in Illinois, it affects you. It's the most important employment issue probably that's on the table right now.
And, Jeff, this is, I mean, if you employ people, you have to have workers' compensation
coverage. It's mandatory coverage to take care of workers when they get injured on the job, and it provides medical coverage as well as wage replacement. So it's mission critical for every employer to provide this. They have to do it by law, and then every employee is taken care of if they get hurt on the job so they can get back to work healthy and back functioning.
And every state has its own way of setting what compensation coverages are, those kinds of things. So this is not necessarily a federal issue as much as it's a state issue. And, of course, it affects issues of competitiveness for business, for economic growth. I mean, and that's, frankly, the root of why it's in these discussions right now.
Correct. Sure.
But, you know, well, let's start out with one of the Democratic arguments is that in 2011 that there were changes made into workers' compensation that made Illinois more competitive, that lowered cost to businesses. But their argument is that the insurance companies haven't reflected the true savings that were reflected there. I think Senate President John Cullerton has said that over and over again. Explain to me what your position is on that.
Well, sure. Some have made that claim, but it's not based on any evidence whatsoever. In fact, what's really occurred is you've had employment that's ticked up since then, and so there's been more people in the workforce and more employers needing workers' compensation insurance coverage. There have been these claims about insurance companies that are repeatedly made, and it's because we're a service provider for employers, and we get caught in the political crossfire between those who want reform and those who don't want reform, Rick.
And Rick, I would just add to that, the reality is that Illinois insurance companies providing workers' compensation, their profit margin is no different than nationwide. And in fact, we lost 10% in 2009, 2010, when the rest of the country was at 10%. So in terms of profit mongering, that's not occurring in the market. We had 200 companies in 2015 file for rate decreases, according to the Department of Insurance. Not our numbers, the Department of Insurance numbers. And so the competitive market is working, and the last thing we need is these two bills that they've passed injected into the system.
Well, and there's something like 300 different, I guess, insurers that are licensed to provide workers' comp in the state.
It's the most competitive state in the United States for insurance companies seeking to do workers' compensation insurance business. And that holds the prices down.
I was going to say, so based on
that's
that,
the way it works. It's a very competitive state and has been for quite a while.
So then you have one of the bills that the Democrat-controlled legislature passed was one that would basically put the state in charge of setting prices.
Right. Sure. Yeah, you know, Rick, I just wonder how many other businesses in this state, your business included, would like to have to go to the government to get approval to charge their advertising rates or the price for their products. And that's exactly what this bill does for us. It says we have to get government permission before we can sell the product to the customer. It just seems to be totally anti-competitive and not in anyone's best interest.
Well, and it's not like this isn't a regulated, you know, industry. Right. But regulated to the point of fair practices, not...
And Rick, the key to that regulation issue for us is, you know, for the taxpayers and your listeners, is the fact that we have to add new staff and new costs to the Department of Insurance and other regulatory agencies to pay for it that we don't have. You know, so at a time when we have competition, at a time when we've got a market that's, you know, we need some cost controls and cost containment on the medical side and other areas, we don't need new taxes and new fees put on the industry or new taxes on consumers to pay for a new regulatory system to try to do prior approval.
Yeah, I mean, this is not like necessarily like a energy provider that has to go before the Illinois Commerce Commission where it's you're basically talking a monopoly
correct.
Kind of situation.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely correct because of the over 330 insurers that are competing in Illinois. Plus, if you're large enough, like some in municipalities and some of the larger businesses in the state, you don't need to buy insurance at all. You can go the self-insurance route and do it yourself. So there are options available. Some of them, like I said, self-insurance being the preeminent choice for the larger municipalities and businesses in the state. And they don't buy insurance at all. And they've repeatedly said, we
exactly.
need more reform in this state. And the bills that have passed the legislature in the last few weeks have been fake reform and just don't do the work.
Yeah, I think that's a key point, Rick, is, you know, we've talked about, you mentioned the proponents say that there's profit hoarding on this. The self-insureds have not reported, have not claimed any of these cost savings that the proponents of this legislation say is out there. They're still hungry for reforms and cost containment. So that really puts the proof in the pudding on those.
We're speaking with Steve Schneider of the American Insurance Association and Jeff Junkus with the Property Casualty Insurers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue on a gloriously sunny Sunday morning. Joining me here in the studio is Steve Schneider of the American Insurance Association and Jeff Junkus with the Property Casualty Insurers Association. We're talking about the issue of workers' compensation. Okay, granted, not really a great sexy issue, but certainly an issue that people need to learn more about. It's certainly one of those issues that's a precondition of hopefully someday, a resolution to our budget impasse. And gentlemen, I got a tweet from someone who says that workers' compensation premiums have increased more than total employer payroll since 2011. How does that have any bearing? I mean, is that true in your view, or, you know, as it comes to that issue of insurance premiums that employers pay?
Sure, you got more people working today than you did roughly 5 years ago. In fact, the unemployment rate has dropped almost 48% over the last 5 years. And that doesn't mean it's great in Illinois or that the economy is booming yet, but it does mean it has made progress since the dark days of 2009, 10, and 11. And what you see reflected in that are additional costs for workers' compensation. Because the more people you hire, the more workers' compensation insurance coverage you have to provide as an employer. So that tracks with that, I believe.
So based on the number of employees, that's a baseline kind of.
Sure. And Rick, it's not just payroll, right? You have to have medical costs you have to cover. You have to cover your cost of claims and defense attorneys as well in terms of your total premium is going to cover more than just the payroll.
I wanted to ask you about another piece of legislation that passed kind of in these final hours of the still continuing legislative session. It would basically put the state in the workers' compensation insurance business.
Yeah, Rick, only in Illinois would politicians think that it's the right thing to do to put the state of Illinois with a $125 billion plus deficit in the insurance business. I ask you, what kind of solution is that?
Yeah, and Rick, you know, our point is that it would be grossly underfunded and impact consumers. They put $10 million aside to start it. We did an analysis on Connecticut, small state of Connecticut. You'd need at least $25 million more in reserves, even if you took $100 million in premium in the first year. Where is the state going to get that money? General revenue fund? Taxpayers? I mean, it just doesn't work. It doesn't compute.
Well, and of course, issues, too, is you start creating something like this, and given the state's financial problems, that there would not necessarily be any real guarantee that money that was, you know, set aside into a fund is going to stay in that fund.
Exactly. Yeah, we welcome all the competition, and we've got a pretty competitive environment here now. But bankrolling it with the assets of a bankrupt institution is not a good idea.
Well, so what do you in the insurance industry want to see? I mean, we know who the players are here, and it's a very it's a political morass.
Well, first, we want to see a veto of these bills. That's number one, because they're wrong for Illinois. They're not the right reforms. I think what you need to see, and Steve certainly can echo this as well, is, you know, true cost containment on the medical side, where that's where we've seen costs explode, as you know, in the healthcare world. So that's what needs to be looked at. You know, Medicare-based fee schedule versus what we have today. Look at the drug formulary issues and drug usage. That's going to help injured workers, keep them off addiction, and go from there in terms of doctor prescription drugs. There's some real reforms we know work in other states because Steve and I work nationally in our trades, but that's not what's been put forth by the Democratic majority now.
Yeah, it's really important to keep in context that Illinois is competing with other states, and what we hear often from our customers is, how come it costs more to buy workers' compensation insurance in Illinois than it does in neighboring states? And that's because the benefits are much more generous here in Illinois. We've always maintained that if you did something about the use of prescription drugs for workers' compensation, if you implemented a Medicare-based fee schedule, and if you looked at the other benefits that are available to employees, you might be able to put together a better reform package. But the fake reforms that are pending with the governor now are just not the answers to reform.
But certainly you don't expect the governor to sign those.
We're encouraging the governor to veto them, and we're working hard to continue to educate people about what the problems are with those bills, and they are significant.
But there is room for some kind of compromise on this subject. I mean, there's always been through history tweaks on, you know, that you know, and basically it's labor and business sitting down and in a room and hammering those things out. But I'm not sure that.
Well, the Senate had been working on some legislation as well. There's been some good proposals put forth there we think should continue. As my understanding, as you probably know from Greg Bay's interview last week, they were within one or two sentences of a package we could agree to. And I think we were accepting of those, and that would have moved the ball forward. And we'd like to, I think, revisit some of those types of items.
Yeah, indeed, the Senate was taking some very responsible steps on a number of fronts, and one of them was on workers' comp reform. And I think it would be very helpful if they got back together and got back to the drawing board and put something together. You know, for too long, politics has been a big contention point in workers' comp. It's time to take the politics out of workers' comp and try to put some real reform in. What they were considering originally in the Senate was real positive steps for reform.
Such as?
Such as a better fee schedule that would help control some of the medical costs in the state, such as limiting some of the reimbursement for unneeded prescription drugs, which are somewhat abused in the workers' comp system in Illinois, plus making a number of other related changes.
I know that one thing that you've been urging is that the issue of more money being paid for indemnity claims than is paid for medical care.
Yeah, it's that's a really important point, Rick, when you get below the surface of what workers' compensation is. So we've focused very much on medical care reform. But in Illinois, the indemnity portion, the portion you get
Explain
if you're
that,
hurt,
yeah.
if you lose an arm, if you lose the use of a part of your body, certainly you get medical care, but you also get some replacement for your wages that you've been earning. And just as an example, in Illinois, God forbid anyone should lose their arm at work. It's a terrible, tragic thing to do. But if you do, you're reimbursed for $440,000 for the complete loss of use of one of your arms. The national average is $170,000. And therein you have a significant cost differential. That just means it's going to be more expensive in Illinois than it is. And I'm not advocating that we change that. I'm just pointing out that's what it is.
But, I mean, there would seem to be room to have discussions on that kind of a fee schedule, aren't there?
Sure. And again, you mentioned, you know, business and labor getting together. They have to get together and agree on that. As Steve mentioned early on, you know, we are, you know, a service provider in many ways, right? And we're not here to dictate what those benefit levels are. That's for business and labor to come to agreement.
Because that will, your coverage will be based on whatever those
Correct.
Levels
but we have
that
to,
are
We have
set.
To cover the underlying cost. And, you know, these bills that we're talking about don't address underlying costs to the system that we need to pay for, which equal the premiums that folks have to pay out there in the business world.
You talked about the Medicare fee schedule. Could you just explain what that is in English?
Sure. It's almost universally used throughout the United States and other states' workers' comp systems. 29 states use it. It provides consistency. It provides uniformity for what the medical care should be, what the cost of the medical care should be for somebody who's hurt on the job. And it just seems timely that Illinois could update its old and homegrown, homemade fee schedule into something that's used in the majority of states around the country. It would bring it'd make it much easier to study the system, much easier to track the costs, much easier to keep the costs in line with what the actual costs are.
I get a feeling, and it's involving both sides, that it's hard to study. It's hard to figure Illinois and some of these factors because of the individuality of how things are done in the states.
The Illinois workers' compensation insurers report to probably half dozen or more different entities in terms of what we do, costs and everything else. But you don't see the medical community having a report, the attorney community having a report, and even the self-insureds. So we have all this reporting on us from the comp commission, the Department of Insurance, what our rates are, what we're charging. But we're missing some piece of the equation. That Senate bill has some reporting put on it for the medical community and others. So we get a more complete picture to see where those costs are going. We'd certainly welcome that.
So let's get everybody back to the table.
Yes, sir.
That's the first thing we ought to do, indeed.
All right. Steve Schneider of the American Insurance Association and Jeff Chunkus with the Property Casualty Insurers Association. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks. Have a great day.
We'll be back with more right after this.